All right, third service. You know what this means, right? You know what third service means? I can go as long as I want. No time limits, just a lot of heat. If everybody could just kind of keep their breathing to a minimum, we'd appreciate it this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, welcome. We're so glad you're here. We're going to be receiving an offering for the air conditioning. No, we're not. We're not at all. We're glad you're here. This is how we know that you're visiting with us today. You fill out this card. It's in the back of the seats in front of you. Just fill it out. We promise we won't bother you too much. We'll send you a little gift in the mail this week just saying, hey, thanks for being with us on Easter. For the rest of us, this is how we know how to be praying for you. Yesterday at 9 o'clock, we had a group of our prayer team here, and we were praying specifically for the seat that you are sitting in, that we were believing that God was going to bring the right people into this place for a specific divine moment for you this morning, and I'll share more about that. So fill that out, and then at the end of service, we'll have some ushers with a basket at the back, and as you leave, you can drop that in the basket. We won't be passing a basket today, so if you brought your tithes and offerings as you leave, you can drop them in the basket as well when you go. Well, it's Easter, right? Easters is what I think Nacho Libre says. It's Easters, and I'm just curious why you're here, right? Like I'm curious, like what is it about Easter that draws us into a faith community, into a church? What is it that we are expecting to get out of it? See, because I think that there are some who are here this morning who maybe were invited by a family member, and so you're here because your family asked you to come, and so you're here. Maybe you got invited by a coworker or a friend, and so you just said yes, right? And I think the percentage says that like 90% of the people who are invited to a place on Easter will go. And so maybe you're a part of the 90%. You just decide, I'm going to go to church on this Sunday. I'm not sure why you're here. And here's what I think is, I think that there are some that are here this morning that all of this, like the singing and the excitement and a message and all of this, you just don't believe it. You just don't believe. This is my 12th Easter on this stage. This stage, we haven't replaced it in 12 years. We probably should, but yeah, you're clapping because you're like, you made it, 12 years, good job, you're not dead. So 12 years on this stage, and as I was preparing for this Easter and thinking through what was it that I was going to share with you that was going to be so profound that maybe for those of you who came this morning and you're like, I just don't believe this. I'm here, but I don't believe. I was trying to think, how could I convince you otherwise? And at the end of the day, I just don't think I can. I don't think that a message or a teaching from me is going to actually change anything. Yesterday, as I said, we were here praying, and Pastor Glenn said something that really struck me, that there's a story in Scripture where it talks about God being God. Like sometimes there's moments where even as a teaching pastor, as someone who is often teaching, sometimes you just have to get out of the way and let God be God. And so we're kind of doing that this morning. I want to tell you a story out of the Bible, but then I want to show you a story about someone from our church. The story in the Bible is a story about a guy named Lazarus who dies. He's a friend of Jesus. He's got a couple sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus finds out that he dies. Jesus comes back to the town. And Mary and Martha, you know, it would be an understatement to say that they're ticked. They're mad. They're mad at Jesus because if Jesus would have been there, maybe he could have healed and saved their brother from death. But he wasn't there. And he didn't heal him. He died. And so Martha comes and starts talking to Jesus. And Jesus tells Martha something, and then he asks her a question. And it's the same question that I want to ask all of us this morning. In John chapter 11, it says, I am the resurrection. This is Jesus talking to Martha, and he says to Martha, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they may die, they shall still live. And everyone who lives and actually believes in me, guess what? They'll never die. And then he asks the question of Martha, do you believe this? And I don't even know if she fully understand what she was agreeing to, but she says, yes, of course, Lord, I do believe this. I believe that you are Jesus, the Son of God, come into this world. I believe that. And the rest of the story, Jesus spent some time with Mary and Martha, and they're grieving the loss of their brother. And in this context, Jesus actually, it's one of the most famous shortest scriptures in all of the Bible. It says Jesus wept. And I love this picture of Jesus coming with these two sisters and just mourning with those who mourn, weeping with those who weep. If you know the rest of the story, you know that Jesus eventually raises Lazarus from the dead. He calls him out of the grave. And everybody's cheering, everybody's excited, but you know what? There were people who witnessed that still didn't believe. They didn't believe. When Jesus rose from the dead, when he rose from the grave, there were people who heard about it, who even saw him. There was Doubting Thomas, and he was like not convinced, right? There were still people who didn't believe even in that circumstance, in that situation. And I believe that there are some of you here today who find yourself on the wrong side of the ledger. Meaning that if you have a ledger, there's one side that's belief, and then there's the other side that's unbelief. There's one side that's like, yeah, we receive Jesus as the Son of God, and then there's the other side that rejects that line of thinking. And so the question for all of us this morning is, what side of the ledger are you on? Where do you find yourself today? As Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? I want to show you a story about a man who for 68 years of his life found himself on the wrong side of the ledger. He found himself on the side of the ledger of unbelief, and God radically changed his life. After the testimony's over, the worship team's going to lead us in a special song, and it's an old gospel song. We've amped it up a little bit, but it's an old gospel song. And I want to encourage you, listen, this is third service. We can do whatever we want, right? And actually, I said that to all three services. But you can do whatever you want. So if during the song you want to stand. If you want to sing, the words are going to be up on the screen. Listen, this is about us focusing on the ledger. Do we believe? Do we not believe? If we believe, the words on the screen are so hope-filled. The testimony that you're about to hear is so hope-filled. But if you're on the side of the ledger that doesn't believe, maybe it's a time of reflection to say, God, maybe today's the day. Take a look at this.
My name is Jeffrey Cantor, and this is my story. It's a story of how God has changed my life in ways that I could never imagine. It's a story of how God has intervened in my life and given me a purpose that I didn't realize I would ever have. I was born into a middle-class Jewish family in New Jersey. We weren't religious Jews, though. We were more cultural Jews. I was bar mitzvahed, but I never went to synagogue after that. I was always more oriented towards science than religion. I enjoyed studying everything from physics to mathematics, and I was the guy who would always listen to someone describe a miracle or a religious event and say, but wait, here's a technical way that could have happened. I was the one always seeing realism in events when people saw religious activities. I grew up in New Jersey, and I came to Baylor University to go to graduate school, where I met Beverly. We met, we fell in love, and were married several months afterwards. And we've been married 45 years. Beverly has always been a believer. I would sometimes go to church with her, and I was just amazed by how much faith she had. And I would look at her and her faith, and I would envy it. And I would sometimes wish that I believed like she did. But if you don't believe, you just don't believe. And that's the way it was for 68 years of my life. In that year, I was invited to go to Lifehouse Church by some friends, and Beverly and I went, and I enjoyed it. I felt at home and interested, but I never felt the Holy Spirit. And then one day in May of that year, my life changed. I was getting up, and I heard this strange sound. It was a sound kind of like a metal brush being swept across tin, kind of a whoosh, whoosh kind of sound, very strange. And then I found myself outside, looking at a wooden beam that was coming out of the ground. And I looked at it, and without seeing even the top part, all of a sudden I knew it's a cross. And I raised my eyes, and there were man's legs hanging down from the cross. And then the man on the cross spoke. And he spoke with a voice that just cut through me. The man on the cross said, "I did this for you." That's all. Five simple words. "I did this for you." And I knew immediately that was true. It was an unreal experience, yet so real that it stunned me. And I thought, who would do that for me? Who would go to the cross and die for me? I wasn't anybody special. I didn't do anything to warrant that. So I came to realize only God could love me that much. And only Jesus would go to the cross for me. And I went to Beverly. And I said, "Beverly, I've got something to tell you." At first she said, "Oh, no. You know, what did you do now?" And I said, no, honey, this is good. And I told her. I told her about the experience. And she began to cry. And she said, "I've waited so long for this." And we held hands. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my life really started to change then. Last year, I almost died twice, and I'm convinced that God intervened both times. The first time was the 1st of January, and I got bit by some little insect, but the insect was carrying what's called flesh-eating bacteria, and within hours, Beverly looked at me and rushed me to the emergency room, where they looked at me and rushed me back into treatment. They tried surgery, they tried different things, but the problem was the drug that would really be effective against that bacteria was penicillin. And I had been allergic to penicillin all my life. So I started to get worse. They tried all kinds of different antibiotics, but I just kept getting worse and worse. And I woke up in the middle of the third night I was there, and I knew I was probably going to die. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. If I live, I pledge my life to you. And if I die, it's okay, because you're with me. And I fell back to sleep. The next morning, one of the physicians comes in and he says, you know what? We just decided to test you and see if you're still allergic to penicillin. And it turns out you're not. So we're starting you on massive doses of penicillin, and that should save your life. And it did. And I'm convinced that God's hand was in that. And I got better. But later that year, I almost died again. I went in for a checkup and shortness of breath. And after several tests, was told my five vessels to my heart were 80 to 90% blocked. And I was a ticking time bomb for a fatal heart attack. So they scheduled me for surgery the next day. I went in and I had open heart surgery. I was on a bypass machine for 3 hours. At the end of the 3 hours, they took me off the machine, but my heart wouldn't start. It wouldn't start beating again. They had to do additional surgeries. They had to do several different things, procedures, and eventually they got my heart started again. And over the next few days, I had trouble breathing. I had all kinds of difficulties. I was in and out of intensive care for 10 days. Towards the end of that, I started to pray again and said, Lord, you've changed my life. You've saved me twice. What is it you want me to do? I feel like there's something you want me to do, but I don't know what it is. What is it, Lord? And then this quiet voice inside me said, tell your story. Just tell your story.
Shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no there ain't no grave.
Let's all stand together now and sing this next verse.
Oh, there was a battle, war between death and life. And there on the tomb, the Lamb of God was crucified. And he went on down to hell, took back death.
Come on, you know you want to clap to that, right? Come on. You can have a seat. That song was written by a guy named Claude Eli. Claude Eli ended up being a preacher, a tent revival preacher. But when he was 12, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And at the time, ended up being a terminal diagnosis. He was basically told he was going to die. And so Claude at 12 years old is laying in his bed. His family's all surrounding him, and they're praying for him and believing that God's going to heal Claude. And even at a young age, at 12, Claude found himself on the right side of the ledger. He found himself in a relationship with God in a state of belief. And he looks up to his family and he says, I'm not going to die. Ain't no grave going to hold me down. And from that moment on, Claude was healed. And his uncle gives him a guitar, and later on he begins strumming on it. And they look back on that moment when they were praying and Claude made a statement of faith, a statement of understanding, recognizing what Jesus was saying when he was talking to Martha, when he says, even though they may die, they still live. God eventually went on to be a tent revival preacher and saw thousands and thousands of people come into a relationship with God, into a place of belief, and move from one side of the ledger to the next, all through a song that was given on a deathbed. Many of you might know this song from the great Johnny Cash. He also sang this song prior to his death. I believe Merle Haggard sang it as well. But nobody sings it better than my wife, Kelly Covey. She's super happy that I said that. What side of the ledger are you on? Where are you at? What grave this morning do you need to walk out of? One of my favorite songs is called The Cave. And the lyrics to the song The Cave, it says, come out of your cave and see the world hanging upside down. You can understand dependence when you understand your maker's heart. That when you understand how God's made you, when you understand how much he loves you, all of a sudden you understand what it is to be dependent upon your maker. It goes on to say that I need freedom now, and I need to know how to live my life as it's meant to be. And that's really what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the fact that when you understand that death isn't even death, when you understand that there's this point at which you step into belief, you step into that faith and that understanding, it changes your life. When you move from this side to this side, all of a sudden you know how your life was meant to be lived. And I think if you're honest, if you've lived your life in unbelief without God, you know that it's really not all that great of a life to begin with. What side of the ledger are you on this morning? And if I could encourage you, don't wait 68 years to find out the life that you were meant to live. Don't wait 68 years. Jeff and Beverly are here, I believe. Jeff, you want to stand? Jeff is a testimony that it's never too late. Jeff is a testimony to some of you who maybe you've been praying for your spouse for 40 some years for them to come into this place of belief, to move from one side of the ledger to the next. I think Beverly would tell you this morning, don't stop praying. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing testimony that Jeff's given us today. We thank you for this song, for the example in the life of Claude Eli. All of these just notes, just these notes and these letters and these words of hope. That's what this is. This is a place of hope. And God, when we step into our faith with you, when we step into relationship with you, all of a sudden, our life is changed. It's transformed. And if there's anyone here this morning, just as you continue to pray, that you walked into this place today on the side of the ledger that's unbelief, then you would say, today's the day. Today's the day I'm going to step out. Because I think if you're being honest with yourself, this life that you've been living without belief, without God in your life, is probably not all that great of a life to begin with. And if that's you this morning, if you came in here wondering, I have no idea why I'm here today, this is it. This is the moment. And could you just say as simply as this, these words, and you don't have to say them out loud, and I'm certainly not going to embarrass you, but to give you the language, when you move from one side to the other, you're just saying, God, will you be the leader of my life? Because I'm tired of trying to lead my own life. God, will you lead me in the way, in the life that I've always been meant to live, but I've never fully stepped into? And God, today, I surrender my life completely and totally to you, and I believe that what Jesus did on the cross so many years ago was actually not just for Jeff or for my family, but it was actually for me. And if you're here this morning and maybe you'll find yourself on the ledger of belief, but maybe your cave, your grave is not that of unbelief, but maybe it's a cave of despair. It's a grave of disillusionment or depression, that there's something in your life that has held you back. But the promise of Jesus raising from the dead, of walking out of the grave, the promise of that song is that because Jesus walked out of the grave, so can you. You can walk out of the grave of despair. You can walk out of the grave of depression. The things that keep you held back from the life that God intended you to live. that the promise and the hope is that because Jesus stepped out of that grave, you can too. So, Father, for those of us in this room that we believe you, but we feel chained, we feel bound, we feel stuck in this cave, God, I pray for freedom today. Because it is because of the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we get to be free people and free indeed. God, we love you. We thank you for your transforming testimony that we heard in Jeff. And God, I pray that every person in this room and anyone watching online this morning would be changed, that we would walk out of this place transformed and free, that for some, walking out of this place with the realization that I no longer am on the ledger of unbelief and rejection, but I've actually received Christ, and I believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to close our time out with really a celebratory song. But if that's you this morning, if you found yourself saying, yeah, man, that's me, on the back of your card and the seat backs in front of you, there's just a place to mark, today I committed my life to Christ. That's really what it means to switch sides of the ledger. That today I committed my life to Christ. All I'm asking is, would you just be so bold as to mark that? And when you leave, drop it in the basket, and someone will be in contact with you, because honestly, we want to walk with you out of the grave. We want to walk with you through this process. There's also a line that says, today I recommitted my life to Christ, and that may be you as well. Maybe you've been far from Jesus for a long time, and today you're like, I want to recommit my life to him, and we want to walk with you through that process as well. Can we stand and close our time out today? And man, if that was you that said, you know what, Ryan, today I believe, the song that we're about to sing ought to be a proclamation and a point of joy for all of us.